I found myself praying this afternoon, oh God, break forth amongst us. Break forth amongst us. Hallelujah. 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 6 o'clock Tuesday is our Women of Purpose meeting. And when God's Spirit begins to move, we'll also recognize it even in those meetings. In other words, don't say, well, that's just another meeting. God can't be in that. He will be in that. Amen. At 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, our board meeting. And a week from this Tuesday is the baby shower for Victoria. And she was up here singing tonight. And my wife had made a statement reference to her. And she said, I'm just thankful for young mothers who don't let having children keep them from serving God and ministering and just staying right with it. And I appreciate our young mothers. We've got a great group of young mothers. They refuse to let having children keep them from being involved in the things of God. And I'm not preaching, but I'm telling you, some folks use children as an excuse not to be involved, not to come to church, not to come to the... But children are the reason to do all those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Wednesday at 7:30 is our family worship night. And then Friday at what time, Brother Ryan? 6:30 here at the church is our youth night. Now listen, by no stretch of the imagination am I a Paul. But I would like to say I know Paul appreciated having a Timothy. And I am grateful, especially as I start, you know, whichever way it is. I'm so thankful God gave me a Timothy in the ministry of the Word. And young people, I want you to know something. Every Wednesday night, Brother Brian and I have a meeting, and the bulk of that meeting is his pouring out his heart with concern for different young people and just wanting to see God move in their lives. He really loves you. That's his concern. And so tonight I felt compelled to let the Timothy God gave me minister. And I believe he's going to share his heart. And we're going to move into these altars and just have a continuation of what God is doing in our hearts tonight.
Amen. That's a tremendous honor. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord we feel tonight. Was reminded while the service was going on of a runner. The Olympics are about to be upon us here in the next month. And there's something about the Olympics that brings about a national pride. I've always enjoyed them. But my mind went back to a story from the 1992 Olympic Games. It was the Summer Olympics that year. A man by the name of Derek Redmond is from England. As a teenager, he had broken 5 world records in speed and running and track and field, and he was a shoe-in to medal in the 1988 Games. 10 minutes before his race started, he blew out his Achilles tendon and had to have 5 surgeries in that year. Through 3 years of rehab and training and coming back, he made it back to the Olympics in 1992 and again was almost destined to make it to the medal stand. They said throughout his years of training, he would remind himself of the reason why he was there, what he was doing it for, all so he could represent his country in the Olympics. The race started off well. He was doing great, and he was coming around the home stretch, just about to turn that third corner, making it home, when all of a sudden it looked as if he had been shot. He pulled up lame. His hamstring had ripped and torn while he was running. And again, the pain and the agony of knowing he was so close to making it to where he had trained his whole life to be, only to find himself coming up just short, coming up injured, coming up lame. All of a sudden, the race finishes, the racers, they're running on, but there was a stirring in the crowd and a hush fell across that stadium as a man came bolting out of the stands. Now we know in the day and hour that we live in, that is not considered a safe thing. When an individual comes out of the stands to onto the field of play. But it didn't take very long for them to figure out who this man was. That was Derek Redmond's father. He came bursting past the security. He jumped over the fence And he ran to where his son was laying. And putting his arm around his son, he said, "Boy, get up. We're finishing this one together." And that crowd, that they probably don't even remember who won the gold medal, the silver, or the bronze, began to stand to their feet, and with applause and cheering and adoration began to cheer on this young man as he limped, holding on to his father in tears and agony and pain. But they made it, and they finished the race together. And as we were in service tonight, my mind began to wonder who tonight could be in the middle of the race for the crown, the race for the prize that is set before us. Who could be here tonight? And maybe you're struggling, and you're hurting, and you're weary, and you feel like you've been injured, or you feel like you're tired. And tonight you're just wondering when it's going to be that God, the Heavenly Father, might come by, put his arms around you, get you up on your feet again, and let you know that we're going to finish the race together. I'm reminded tonight that we are not alone, Brother Cruz. He's never left us. And tonight it is not those who quit who are going to be the ones that God comes by to minister to, but it's going to be those that say, "No matter what, I am going to finish. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to stay with it. We've come too far to turn back now. We might as well keep going." And I can guarantee you this: the Heavenly Father knows them that are his. He knows right where you're at tonight, and he can put his arms around you, lift you up, amen, and get you to the finish line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Lord wants to encourage his people tonight. That has nothing to do with my sermon. But man, I could not get my mind off of the image. I wish I'd have had time to get with our media guys, because it is a powerful thing to behold. Amen. When a father comes by to lift up a child that's hurting. Amen. I believe the Heavenly Father tonight has really got his eyes on some children tonight. And he wants you to know he's about to put his arms around you again and let you feel his embrace. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on unity and peace in the home. Unity and peace in the home. Sister Emma, would you come up here tonight? Come here. Come here. She's going to help me tonight. Say hi. Say hi. Say hi. You scared? Here. Say hi. Don't look at him. Say hi. Mom, we might need your help. Come up here too. Sister Emma's been practicing some memory verses, and she wants to say them tonight. Okay, you ready? Say them with Mama. Say,
The
Lord
is
my shepherd. Come on. Say shepherd.
Shepherd.
Come on. What is it? Say one.
He.
Make it.
Make it. He.
Two.
Two.
Five.
Five.
We'll keep working. Say pastures.
Pastures.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. She's been working hard at home. I think she got a little bit of her mama's stage fright all of a sudden. That's all right. Amen. I appreciate my wife and our children to be. Got one coming soon. Sister Sarah and I made a vow when we got married that we would have a home that was holy. We knew the job that we were already in as youth pastors here, and it was my desire growing up and even when we got married, that we would have a place that young people would be able to see, that they would feel safe in, that they would feel the presence of God in, that they would feel harmony in. And I believe that that's really God's goal for every home that is a part of the kingdom of God. That we have a place that is unified, parents, children, a place that is safe from the enemy out there, a place that is secure in what we believe and who we are. You see, the church is the greatest help to the world around us today. There's going to be no other entity that will ever be able to accomplish what the church of God can accomplish. But can I tell you, the church of God is comprised of many homes and many families that come together and we unify as one body. And so what happens in our homes affects what happens in this family. And as we come together, there are many times individual homes will be having issues and struggles, a death in the family, somebody that's sick, a financial difficulty. Many of us have experienced all of these issues at some point and another time in our lives. But can I tell you that God still loves the family? God still loves the home. God still is keenly invested, amen, in seeing the families of God make it all the way to heaven. Amen. I want to make it, but I want my wife to make it. I want our children to make it. I want our youth members to make it. I want y'all to make it. You see, heaven is sweeter because it is the family of God finally all getting together. Amen. I can't wait to get with my Heavenly Father. I can't wait to get, amen, with those loved ones that have gone on before us. Amen. I can't wait to get there. But until we do, it is our duty as fathers and husbands to lead our homes in the things of God. Amen. Tonight, if you are in a single parent home, let me tell you, God has got a special provision for you. Your family can make it. You can make it. God can secure the families in this church so that we make it all the way to heaven. Amen. I just want to make it tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our text tonight out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I didn't get with Brother Dearth before the service tonight. I apologize for that. So if all the verses are not on the wall, that is not their fault. That is on me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 is where we're going to take our text tonight. We'll be reading verses 9, 10, and 12. 9, 10, and 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Or basically being said, many hands make light work. Two are better than one. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to preach tonight on unity and peace. Unity and peace. Could you pray with us tonight and that the Lord would speak to our hearts? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body. God, this is the greatest church that you have ever placed upon the earth to be a part of. I'm thankful. I'm so grateful, Father, for our adults and our elders, those who've paved the way before us. God, I'm thankful for our young people, those that are desiring to see a fresh move of your Spirit in this generation, God. I'm thankful for every home that is represented here. God, I pray tonight that you would minister, that you would quicken our hearts, that you would help us, Lord, in our daily lives outside of these four walls. God, that we would reflect you in everything that we say, everything that we do, and everything that we are. God, we love you. Thank you for the salvation that you provided for us. God, we give you praise tonight and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever noticed that God's will and God's plan for the kingdom of God and for the church of God is to dwell in unity? Today, Pastor so vividly brought out to us the example of the Trinity and the unholy Trinity that will befall us, amen, in the end times. Even the enemy knows that as he works, he desires to work with evil in unity. Amen. When Jesus was casting out demons out of individuals in the New Testament, they accused him of being a part of Satan. They said he cast these demons out by Beelzebub. Amen. The spirit of Satan. And Jesus said, "How, amen, how can a kingdom divided against itself? It shall not stand." Amen. Civil war never brings about unity. Amen. But God has always been designed throughout history. He's always placed the design to be unified and to be at peace. Hallelujah. When he announced Christ's birth, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Amen. That "fear not" was a declaration of peace. Amen. God, amen, has declared that we in his kingdom are to live at peace and unity. Amen. That is an example of our relationship with Jesus. What did he say? "They shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Unity and peace. God wants the families of God to dwell in unity. The enemy always tries to work in division. Whether it be in a youth group, whether it be in a church, or whether it be in a home, the enemy loves to bring about division. And if we were to break down that word, you would find that the prefix "di" means two. And vision, amen, we know what that means. Amen, the seeing, the direction. Amen, two visions. That's what division is. It's when an entity sees that the goal ought to be here and another goal is over here and they're not working together. Can I tell you, families, God wants you to see the unity and the vision that Christ has established for us. Parents, God wants you to see the vision for your young people in a way that the world could only try to emulate but never bring about to a success. Amen. God wants us to see that the vision is heaven, and that's the goal, that we make it and that we make it together. You see, it is one of the hardest things to watch when a family is broken, a family's hurting. Division, it separates and divides. It becomes our desires versus God's desires, our feelings versus that of our spouse, our children, our parents, our siblings. Amen. There was an individual that we were talking with many years back, and for years he thought his parents hated him. And one day it finally broke in a huge display of anger and frustration, and his parents began to weep, and they said, "We never knew that you felt this way. We're so sorry." But for years the enemy had played this young man's mind that somehow his parents did not care, and he played upon that and dwelt upon that, and it brought division in a home and a hurt that was never intended to be there. Hear me tonight, church. The enemy wants to divide you. Parents, the enemy wants to steal your children from you. He would love to see their lives wrecked and destroyed and brought about carnage because he hates them. And children, can I tell you that the Bible is still true? The Bible says to honor your parents. The Bible says to show respect unto authority. Can I tell you that the world today will cast a light about parents as if they are idiots? Every dad looks like a bumbling oaf, and every mom is addicted to something just to make it through another dreary day. Can I tell you that is a lie from the pits of hell? Amen. I believe that God has planted some fathers in this church, that God has called you, and you are rising up, and you are the men that God wanted you to be. Amen. There are great mothers in this church whom God is equipping to raise children. Hallelujah. Amen. The world wants to see the family destroyed. Oh, but God is here to help us. Because I'm not the only one, I'm sure, that feels like I fall short on a daily basis. And I know that I'm not the only one who sometimes feels like I've got so much more and so much farther to go. But can I tell you that God wants to invest, amen, in the families of this church, every parent. God knows what you're going through. God knows the stress. God knows the hurt. God knows the heartache. And God can help you make it. Hallelujah. And children, can I tell you that God loves you? And he has established order in your life as a safety net. Listen to me tonight. God cares about you. And he has established order as a safety net. He has established parents to guide and govern us. You might say, well, Pastor Brian, my parents are not saved. That does not change the authority that God has placed in your life. They love you, and God can save them through your example. God can bring them to Christ through your example. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Your parents are not stupid. Forgive me if that's considered a dirty word, but can I tell you tonight, it is being thrown around so much that our authority is nothing more than a hindrance to what we can do on our own. God wants to bring a community and a unity, amen, in our homes and a peace in our homes. Unity is known as being joined as a whole. It's when our desires are in focus with what God's desires are. Our heartbeat beats the same that God's does. Our feelings are set aside so that the benefit of others may flourish. Amen. Our wants and dreams for our own desires, amen, are placed on the back burner so that we can see others in our families grow, others in the church grow, amen, to see fellow Christians succeed. God wants to birth unity in our hearts. Today we talked about in Sunday school a new lesson, a new series on My Team. It is amazing how I said I was driving down the road when I felt inspired about this lesson that I saw an individual wearing a Michigan coat. I apologize for even saying the word on the platform. I'm so sorry. I don't like them. I don't like their colors. That's not my team. You know what I said? You could be in the middle of the Sahara Desert and not have seen anybody for days, stumble upon a man with an axe, a crazy eye, and a beard that's growing longer than Duck Dynasty. But if he's wearing an Ohio State Buckeyes t-shirt, I'm probably going to like him. That's my team. There's something about you. It is amazing to me how that across the nation, you can on every Saturday fill up stadiums, 100,000, 110,000, 90,000. Individuals that don't know each other, but as soon as they walk in the doors, a common vested interest. Can I tell you, it is time that the families of God, amen, and the people of God make a declaration that as for me and my house, amen, as for me and my team, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and come together as a band. Amen. Under the flag of God, that we know this is what God intended for us. It's much more important than the things of the world. It's so much more greater, amen, of importance than what the enemy would like to offer us. God wants your family to make it. And when we come together, there is nothing that can separate us. Amen. A three-corded rope is not easily broken. Amen. Every harvest party, we try to play a tug of war. Brother John's got a nice big old rope out there. Amen. We didn't get to it this past year, but in the past few years, that battle has went on for some time as guys and girls equally trying to pull the team in the direction that they want them to go. It's a lot easier to win a tug of war when everybody's pulling in the same direction. I wanted to get a rope tonight, and I didn't. Brother Steve, I'd like to get in my mind, this is what I was thinking. This is how the enemy would love to work. He wants you to have a team and have everybody trying to pull this way except somebody in the middle is going to go that way. And how it trips up everybody else. And how it messes up the cadence of pulling. Can I tell you that in the family unit, God wants everybody to be going the same direction. and how that when we humble ourselves, see, really, that's what it all comes down to, is every individual in the family humbling themselves to the point where they say, God, it is your will and your plan that I want. You see, when that happens, everyone heads in the same direction of heaven, whether it be children or parents. Amen. God wants us to make it. The family can make it. How do we get our attention and our direction changed? First thing that we can do if there's been a lack of unity is we can stop and have a heart of thankfulness. Amen. I appreciated Brother Ryan's testimony, and others have mentioned that. It spoke to my heart. Thankfulness is a product of my conscious decision to see my life for what it is without God's blessings, and then realize that where I'm at right now is so much better than what it would have been had I done it on my own. You know, there are times that you can grow up and think, well, man, I sure wish I had what Johnny and Susie had, until you realize their home life is wrecked and there's so much discord and anger and bitterness at home, and then you realize, hey, we're pretty normal. That's a nice idea. Love you, Dad. Thank you for providing a normal home. I mean that. Church, God has established us to be the beacon of light. And it's God's will that we show the world what it really means to have love, to have patience, to have the fruit of the Spirit displayed in our homes on a daily basis, so that the world can come in and say, man, this is different. Nobody's throwing things. Nobody's cussing out each other. Nobody's doing the things that I'm used to every day. Can I tell you, God wants your home to be a place of peace and harmony, because He is there. That is the catalyst that we must have in our homes. Jesus Christ abiding there. Abiding in there, in the way that we minister to our spouse or to our children, or even in our own daily lives. Christ abiding in us, the hope of glory and the hope for our homes. Amen. We have a heart of thankfulness, heart of humility, and a heart that honors others and lifts them up. We have a sarcastic generation today. Sarcastic generation. I'm guilty. I'm not going to act like I'm not. Y'all know me. Duh. You see what I just did there? That was sarcasm, if you don't know. Again. Anyway. We have a sarcastic generation that has been programmed to elevate themselves by tearing others down. And it has become an epidemic in our homes where children will demean their parents. You know, my dad is not my old man. He is my father. She is not my old lady. She is my wife. My children are not accidents. They are blessings from the Lord. And if we continue to emulate the way the world speaks to one another, the way the world interacts with one another, we will continue to produce the same effects that the world is producing. But we serve a God that is greater, a God that changes us from the inside out, a God that can change the way we speak, the way that we behave, and the way that we conduct ourselves. God wants to change our hearts, and we can begin that change with asking Him, Lord, change the way that I honor my brothers and sisters, my parents, and my spouse. God, change the way that I view them. God, take away the competitive nature that the enemy would place between me and my sibling. God, help me to honor them. God, help me to honor my children. The Bible speaks several times, fathers, do not invoke your children to wrath. Amen. That is the way the world does it. Oh, God, help us that we do not live in our homes the way the world lives. They are dying to know what it means to feel love and to feel safety and to feel nourishment and to be uplifted. Can I tell you that Jesus, amen, even starting tonight on the the way home can change your family and the destiny of your heart forever. Hallelujah. You don't have to do it the way that your grandfather did it. You don't have to do it the way that your father did it. You don't have to do it the way you've done it. God can change us from our heart out. Hallelujah. He's got a destiny for us. He's got a home for us. And he's got a plan for us. Hallelujah. So many have used the excuse that it's just the way that it's always been. Excuse me. Can I tell you that God can change your destiny? My grandfather was a drunkard. I will not be a drunkard. I will not abandon my family. I will not leave them high and dry, because God changed me. It has nothing to do with Brian McKelvey. It has everything to do with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. There's some young people tonight. You need to make up your mind in tonight's service. I will not have a broken home. I will not be the way that it has always been. I refuse to accept that that is God's will for my life. God has a destiny for you. And although your home life may not be perfect, can I tell you that God can establish in you a perfect home? God can give us, amen, what we maybe have never had. And you say, Brother Brian, it's not that easy. My spouse isn't married. God can give you a new love for your spouse that you maybe have never known, and you can win him to God because of your faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, tonight God wants to restore your home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Music, would you come tonight? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, being patient one with another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means a continual action. You see, I believe tonight the enemy would love to infiltrate every home in this church. He really would. Whether it be through an entertainment choice, whether it be through a place that we allow ourselves to go because of bitterness or hurt or pain or whatever it is, the enemy would love to infiltrate your home. But tonight, we don't have to allow it. The Bible said that if the watchman or the husband of the house was told what time it would be broke into, he would stay awake and not suffer it to be broken up. Last night, right as we were getting to lay Emma down for bed, we heard the loudest, thought it was a gunshot, loudest noise. That's not ever a good thing. And instead of, you know, going and getting my stuff, I opened the door because I want to see what's going on. So, it wasn't a gun. It was fireworks. It was really pretty with the snow and everything. It was nice. I mean, not 10 o'clock at night, but, you know, turned out to be nothing. But if somebody has the audacity to say, Brother Jeremy, I'm coming at midnight, Brother Jeremy is not going to just say, all right, kids, 10 o'clock, let's go to bed and leave that door unlocked. No way. He loves his family too much. But here we know that the enemy is wanting to wreak havoc. We know it. Brother David, we know it. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that Hollywood would love to continue to perpetuate the message of Satan and pump it into our homes on a daily basis. We know it. We know that the enemy would love to wreak havoc and bring a division amongst every family in here. We know it. So what, if we know it, what do we got to do? We got to come together. I kept trying to figure out if there was a spiritual significance to the three part of that threefold cord. But I really think it has just a whole lot to do with this. If you got one, it's going to get broke. And if you got two, it's probably going to get broke faster. But the more pieces you add and pull them together, the less easy it is going to be divided. you know what, tonight I think it would be great. And this isn't easy for everybody. I know not everybody's got a slew of family across the house. I know that. It just might be a good thing tonight if we get our families together, though, and say, I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in to this home. Young people, if you don't have any of your parents here, I want you to gather with Sister Sarah and I, because we love you, and we're here to help your mom and dad see you make it. That's all we're here for. So if you want to pray with us tonight, I'd love to have you pray with us. But if you got family here tonight, I want you to gather together. A threefold cord is not easily broken. That tells me something's trying to break it. But it also tells me it doesn't have to. I don't want the enemy to win. I hate him. And if we know he's coming, let's put the defenses up. Brother Jerry, let's put the defenses up. Oh, hallelujah. Fathers, let's put the defenses back up. Husbands, let's put the defenses back up. Wives, put the defenses back up. Children, come into the safety net of your authority and put the defenses back up. I told our young people this in Tennessee. They did a story. There was an inner city public school, and they were watching it as the children played outside. And they all would play around the outer parts of the yard where the metal fence was with barbed wire up top. And oh, somebody said, oh, those poor kids, they feel shut up, and they feel like they're in prison, and they just want to get out, and we don't trust them. We ought to take these fences down, so that they can know that we love and trust them. And as soon as they did, those children immediately went right to the innermost part of that playground and didn't move. They never felt like they were in bondage because of the fences. They felt safety. And when the defenses were torn down, they immediately retreated to a safe place. Can I tell us tonight, don't tear down the fences. Oh, build them up higher. Amen. Let's get a hold of this tonight so that we can know that the family of God does not have to crumble. But we can come together tonight in unity and say, oh, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand tonight. It might make it a little bit difficult. It'd be easier if we all stand in the front tonight. Children, I want you to go right now, if you can, and find your folks. And again, if they're not here, that doesn't mean you're less anything. They're just not here tonight. You pray with Brother Brian and Sister Sarah. Okay? You're not anything less because your mom and dad's not here tonight. We're praying they're going to get saved. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, he caught all the basai. Families, tonight, could we come and gather around the altar? Husbands, build up the fence again. Oh, God, build up the fence again in our hearts. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Gather around up front and let's pray one for another. Amen. Allow the Lord to heal. If there's any division, allow God to take that tonight and heal it. Amen. God, help us tonight. Amen. Young people, if you're going to pray with us, let's pray over here tonight. Oh, let's gather around the altar and pray one for another tonight. Could we? All across the house. Amen. All across the house. Let's pray. Hallelujah.